Well, we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture tonight, the 23rd Psalm. You may have read it. But whatever the Psalm contains, our emphasis is in verse number 6, the latter part. The shepherd's purpose and goal and will is to take the sheep to the house. I was speaking to a dear, precious saint of God a few months back. Her husband had stopped by the house there in Boone, and she seemed to be in a hurry. And so I said to her, I said, "Sister Ann, where are you going in such a hurry?" And boy, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. And she looked at me, caught me off guard. She said, "Oh, Brother Daniel, you ought to know where I'm going." She said, "I'm headed to glory. I'm just going to make a few stops on the way." And I thought about that. Wherever you may be tonight, really, you're just making a stop on the way. We're headed to glory. I'm somewhere every week, anywhere from Florida to Texas to Michigan. But really, wherever I am, I'm just making a stop or two. I'm headed to glory. Aren't you glad? Verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The journey home. I want to preach tonight for just a few moments on this thought, the inspiration of the journey home. What is it that would cause this sheep, David, or any sheep, to begin this long journey? What is it that gives us the fortitude to continue this journey day after day? And what is it? What is the inspiration that would keep us until the very end of the journey, till we get home? Especially when we consider the distance from verse 1 to verse 6, who knows how far that is. When we consider the dangers of verse number 5 and all of the enemies that might lurk along the way. When we think about the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death that we may walk through. And we consider the difficulties from which our soul will have to be restored. What is it that would cause us to leave where we're at and begin this journey? It must be more than just impulse. It must be more than just adventure or excitement. Well, you see, this shepherd and sheep relationship is more than a picnic or a hike. It is a connecting up for a lifelong commitment and journey. I did not come to Christ to get a little bit of religion to last me a month or two. And if I didn't like it, I'd just give it up. But what began in my heart and my soul 34 years ago will not be completed until the last step of the journey. Until we get home. But what is it that would inspire us? What would cause us to enter into such a journey? What made you leave your lifestyle to begin a new lifestyle? What is it for most of us that caused us to be willing to turn from our friends and families, all we knew, to start a new life with new friends and family? What is it that would make us leave our past and enter in? What is it that would cause us to hook up for the Lord Jesus whom we never knew before? And no doubt our family spoke of us as we left and said, they're crazy. Did you hear that he's leaving his job and going off somewhere to pass? Did you hear that they're going? Did you hear that they're driving all the way over in Bowden to go to? Did you hear? Don't make sense, does it? Why would you do that? Why would you turn from the habits and desires of your past? What is the inspiration that would cause you to begin anew on this journey, unlike a journey that you've ever known anything about? I'm preaching tonight on the inspiration of faith. Because I believe that the key to the beginning of this journey with Christ, the continuing of this journey with Christ, and the end of this journey with Christ is the key of faith. Now, let's notice in our text, the 23rd Psalm. I want you to notice what I call faith's expression, first of all. Actually, the 23rd Psalm is nothing more than the testimony of a sheep about his shepherd. David just pulls over around and he says, you know, I just need to testify right here for whoever can listen or will listen. There's something I need to say. I've got to express myself. The expression of my faith. You can tell that David is satisfied. You can pick up on him. He is thrilled about the journey and he expresses it. As we have expressed it in many ways this week. He expresses in testimony concerning his shepherd. He tells us some things about his shepherd that he is satisfied with and that he believes. David would say to us in verse number 1, my shepherd is the person to believe in, speaking of faith. Oh, he said, I just want to tell you about my shepherd, the one who is leading me, my Lord, the one that I believe in along the journey. I just want to testify to you about him. The one that I believe in. He is the only person to believe in for the child of God. To believe in anyone else would leave you stranded in the wildernesses of this world. Jesus is the only one to believe in. Why? Because Jesus is the shepherd. David lets us know, and he testifies and says, my shepherd is the person to believe in. But he also says, my shepherd gives me a promise to trust in. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I just want to nail it down right here in the beginning. I shall not want. Whatever is engaged in the journey, I shall not want. I am clinging to the promise of the shepherd. He goes on to say, in his expression of faith, not only is the shepherd the person to believe in, not only does his shepherd give a promise to trust in, but his shepherd leads in a path that you can surely walk in. He leads me, he says, in verse 3, paths of righteousness. Boy, I'm going to tell you can always walk in His footsteps and be assured that you're headed in the right direction. You see, you don't have to worry about getting lost if you're following Him because from what I can tell, He knows the way. He knows the way. And the reason why He knows the way is because He made the way. And we can go a step further and say, he said, I am the way. So, if you're following the shepherd, just believe in him. He will always get you there. David said, you can believe in my shepherd. He gives us a path to walk in. But then, he consummates it and ends it up in verse number 6. He said, my shepherd is not only the person to believe in and gives us a promise to trust in and leads us in a path to walk in, but he's also, when it's all said and done, got a place prepared for us to live in. Thank God. David said, we're headed home. And I just want to testify and tell you that I'm excited about my acquaintance with the shepherd. I'm excited about the arrangements that he has laid down. I'm excited about my arrival home. I've just been excited. I love it when the saints get excited about the Savior, don't you? And go to testify and expressing. And so David gives us this inspiration for the journey home. He just gives us a testimony and expression of his faith. But not only that, I want you to notice not only faith expression, but I want you to notice faith's essence or the essence of faith. We could use the word importance of faith. This matter of faith is not something that we can... It is not an option in the journey. You understand what I'm saying? You can't pick it out or leave it aside and say, well, I'm going on the journey, but I don't need no faith. No, you're not going anywhere without faith. Notice Jesus in John chapter number 10, verse 1 through 5, gives us, he speaks about this relationship of the shepherd and the sheep and the journey that they are making. He says in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know him. They tell me that you can put at night, and they do many times, they corral several flocks of sheep in the Middle East together. And then in the early morning, when it is time to start the travel, that each independent shepherd can come, and he can call with his voice those sheep. And his voice is so distinctly known and understood by his own flock. No other sheep will come out of that fold, only those that belong to him. And they will come out and they will willingly, totally follow him wherever he leads them. Why? Because they know him. They believe he is their shepherd. They believe that he will watch out and protect them and lead them and guide them. The whole basis of the principle of the flock following the shepherd is that they believe in the shepherd. It is a matter of faith. David, as a sheep, is not going to follow even the Lord as the shepherd unless he believes in him. And the thing that caused me to turn from my lifestyle and my living and my past and to follow the Lord all of these years was not some little religious package, but it was the fact that I met the shepherd one day and I believed that he was my shepherd and I began to follow him because I trusted in him. It is the essence and the key to the journey. As a matter of fact, can I say to you that any movement at all toward home in verse number 6 has to be a movement of faith. Any other movement, whether it's a movement of intellect or a movement of ability or a movement of energy of the flesh, any other ability will leave you stranded again in the wilderness because faith is the only thing that turns us toward home as we follow the shepherd. Ephesians 2:8 said, "For by grace are ye saved." How? Through faith. It must be through faith. Peter said, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith." It is faith that initiates this journey as the sheep follow the shepherd. It is the faith that continues this journey. And it is faith that will get us home, because our faith is connected and believes and trusts in our shepherd. It must be. It must be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith." And so the most important ingredient and substance in our connection to the shepherd as we head home, the thing that inspired us, the thing that motivated us, the thing that started us along this journey, was a simple thing called faith. It exploded within us, and we could do no other than to follow. I couldn't help myself. The day that I believed in Him, I lost faith in everything else. I could no longer trust my abilities. I could no longer trust those who would lead me. I only trusted Him and following Him. And that is what kept me along the journey. It is the important ingredient and substance called faith. I believe in the shepherd. Because I believe in the shepherd, I follow the shepherd where he leads me, because I believe in none other than the shepherd. The essence of it. But then, can I point out to you, not only the expressions of faith in the journey home, not only the essence of the importance of faith in the journey home. You see, just making some kind of move ain't going to set you in the right direction. Just because you come down to this altar doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you pray a prayer doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you sign up and join the church, or you get baptized, or any of those things. People all over the world have their religiosity and their formalities and religion, but it's not going to work. It is faith, and faith not in just anything, but faith in the shepherd alone. Because if you have no faith in the shepherd alone, you will be following everything else, and you will never make it home. It's absolute. It must be in every sheep, or they will not couple up with the shepherd. It must have entered into every sinner. Faith must have ignited. And you said, "Oh, I believe in the shepherd, and I will follow him. I will pant after him. I am going after him because I believe totally in him." Because what you believe affects your directions and your destinations. It affects everything about you. That's why these sheep will hang around none other than the shepherd, because they believe in that shepherd. That's their inspiration for every step that they take. Is they have to be close to the shepherd and follow the shepherd. The expressions of faith, the essence or importance of faith. But let me point out to you thirdly what I call the extension or the gift, as Paul talked about it, of faith. I'm afraid that when this old world talks about faith, they have no idea of what real, genuine faith is. When the athlete runs and they ask him, "How do you know you're going to win?" He says, "I have faith in myself." Oh, we have faith. But you see, to have faith in ourselves is to have faith into something that is filled with flaws. It cannot guarantee you success. Well, to have faith in anything as far as this world is concerned is not going to assure you the end of the journey, if that's where you're interested in going. Now, if you've driven your stakes down deep in this old world, you can go ahead and have your faith in this old world, and it'll deliver what you have faith in. It'll take you right straight to hell. But if you're interested in going home, there's only one kind of faith. The gifted faith. Now, it is important if faith is the most important ingredient in this journey that inspires us to follow the shepherd home. Where does this faith come from? How do you attain this faith? Is it something that you can earn? When we think about the characteristics of God, how do you get these things? Are they inherited? Were you born with them? Were you taught? Did you learn them in some school? Well, let's just try a few of them. For instance, let's say love. The love of God. Was there anyone here tonight that was born with the love of God in their hearts? No. Where did you get the love of God? The Bible said it was shed abroad in your heart. When you believed on the Lord Jesus, the love of God entered in you. There's nothing, nothing you could ever do to get this. You were not born with it. You did not attain it nor earn it. God put His love. That's why I can love you tonight, because God put His love in my heart. That's why I can love God. When your pastor stands and says, I love the Lord Jesus, he's not putting any merit in himself. He's just talking about the fact that the Lord loved him first and gave him the ability to love him back. Starts with God. It's given to us, and then we love him back. The Spirit of God. Were you born with a spark of God in you? No, you weren't born. No. You were born of the Spirit. Therefore, you have of His Spirit because you were born of His Spirit. It is God giving His Spirit to you and placing His Spirit, divine Spirit, in you. It's a gift. So it is with this thing that is called faith. Now, let's interview the sheep for a moment. They're planning on going to the house. And so we interview a sheep over here and we say to him, are you sure you're going to make it all the way through this trip? You know there's some valleys out there, there's some enemies out there, there's some bad times, some needs of restoration. Are you sure you're going to make it to the end of this thing? And that sheep looks at you and confidently he says, well, yeah, I'm going to make it. So now you understand, I know that most sheep are ignorant, but I'm no ordinary sheep. I got pretty good sense, and I feel like that once I get out there, I'll find my way. I just think I'm smart enough to do it. I'm above the average sheep. And then we interview another sheep, and we say to him, are you sure you're going to make it home? And he says, oh, yes, just as boastful as the other. I'm going to make it home. I know I will. But now, I understand that sheep are weak and defenseless. But I'm stronger than most sheep, and I feel as though I can overcome some of those enemies. As a matter of fact, I can't wait for a wolf to attack me. I'd just like to get a hold of one of them. I just think I can handle him. You know what you're talking to? Two dead sheep. They ain't going nowhere with that kind of faith. But you see, faith don't have sheep in. Sheep don't have faith in and of themselves. They can't do that. You say, well, where does the sheep's faith come from? John chapter number 10 again, the verses we read. Or you could go to Romans 10, 17. What is that verse? What does it say, Romans 10? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what did Jesus say about my sheep? My sheep! You want to know where the faith comes from for the sheep? He hears the voice of a shepherd. And when he hears the voice of a shepherd, faith is ignited in him. One day I heard the Word of God. The Spirit of God ignited within my soul. And faith was born. Because I heard that Word. The shepherd says and calls his sheep, and he says, follow me! And the sheep perk up and said, that's my shepherd. I'm following him. He didn't have any faith of his own. He couldn't have. I love the illustrator. I'll just take a minute and move on to the last thought. But I was thinking about when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000. Did any of the disciples believe you could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? They didn't, did they? Matter of fact, they calculated and counted and did all they could figure up, and they came back and they said, "Can't be done, Lord. It's getting late." And I sent him home. He said, "No, I've got a better idea. You have him sit down." Now, you've got 12 men who are unbelievers in this matter of feeding the multitude with such a small amount. And so can you imagine how timid they are as they go out and they say, "Folks, would you please have a seat?" And someone said, "Well, why are we having a seat? We're going to eat." Well, I don't think so. I don't see how we can, but the master said, "Have a seat." And so they have a seat, and the master begins to break the bread, and he first puts it in the hands of unbelievers. They don't have any faith. They do not believe in this matter it can be done. And so you can see them as they start out through this multitude. They've been seeing 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They know how much is there. And they got the first breaking of it, and I can see them come out and say, "Y'all probably don't need much. Just break off one, if you will. Get a half of it. Maybe get one for your son, and maybe a half one. Don't get too many now. What would you have done? You imagine what your wife would do on a Sunday morning if you told her right after service you invited the whole church over for supper, and all she had done is put a chicken in the crock pot? Huh?" And they go back to the, "Here, just get you a half of one, ma'am. You don't look like you need one. Get you one." They don't believe. But the further they get back to there, they done went back maybe 1,000 or 2,000. I calculate there must have been 25,000. I said 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And by the time they move back about 5,000, they start to believe a little bit. Huh? And when they get all the way to the back of that crowd, they say, "Get you a handful of pencil. You got any pockets? You got an extra bowl. Looks like we're going to carry more home than cash. Here, get you steaks under the van youngins." And when they got back home, they said, "Honey, you won't believe it. But we found out today you can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 25,000 people." I'm here to tell you, they wasn't operating off of their faith. They didn't have any. Whose faith was they operating off of? He's the only one in that crowd believed it could be done. They're operating off on his faith. Huh? Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the faith of the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God." I'm going to tell you, when them sheep are gone headed to the house, they're not going on their faith. They don't believe nothing. They just believe in the shepherd. And that's all it counts. You see, the shepherd does know and believe that he can defeat any wolf in the way. He can supply the water. He can supply the grass. He can get you through whatever difficulty. All you need to know is that you believe in the shepherd. He'll do the rest. Operating off of his faith that he placed in me is the only thing that keeps me going in the journey. Faith has been extended. Aren't you glad for the faith that has been extended to you and I? He is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. When he saved you, he put something in you called faith. He said, "Now that'll do. Plus nothing, minus nothing." He said, "Hold still." He put faith in you. And you said, "Oh, I do believe he died for me. I believe he is buried and rose again the third day. I believe he's a Savior. I believe that he can take me home. I believe I'm a believer." And you started following him because of the faith that he placed in you. It's like a magnet. It's a sucking you toward home. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Which leads me to my last thought. I want us to notice the energy of faith. What is that? Energizer rabbit? That rabbit, the energizer, is that what it is? Just keeps on going? Is that what it is? That is nothing. Huh? You know what's got more energy than anything this world has ever known? Faith. Oh, listen, God, the reason why He wants you to know He's not going to depend upon your abilities, because your abilities are going to wear out somewhere along. If you're working off of intellect, it'll die out on you. You'll end up on some precipice or in some valley somewhere, and that's as far as you'll make it. If you're walking, if you're trying to go to the house on the energies of your strengths and your abilities, you're going to wear down. God knew that. So He gave you something that doesn't wear out. It's better than the energizer battery. It's called faith. It just keeps on working. Have you ever read how much has been accomplished by faith? Huh? By faith, Noah built an ark. I don't know if he'd ever build anything, but he woke up one day, and by faith, God spoke to his heart and said, Noah, build me an ark. I want you to build an ark, Lord. Said, I built an ark. God, give me the blueprint. And he started working and built the by faith, Abraham sojourned in a strange country. Read it there. Hebrews thrills my heart to find out what could be done through the energies of faith. I mean, we're standing the fires and the trials and the lions, the Bible said. All of those things were accomplished by one little thing that God put in them. See, these old bodies wear down. A lot of times we've got to get a little help. Sometimes these old hearts don't want to beat, and they'll put a pacemaker in there. So when it just don't do just right, it'll pick up and kind of get it going. And see, God knew that our emotions would wear out. Sometimes we'd feel good, sometimes we wouldn't feel good. Huh? I mean, y'all been screaming and jumping all week, and tonight you're just kind of tired, and that's all right. I'm kind of tired myself. I can appreciate that. But that ain't what we're swinging in on anyhow. Those, we're supposed to get tired. But God put a kicker on the inside called faith. It's why you're wore out, why you can't understand, and why troubles and doubts are coming after you. Seems like you can't take another step. Faith will come along and pick you up and carry you through all of that. As a matter of fact, what you don't realize is, on this journey home, faith takes every step anyhow. You ain't taking no steps. Faith. Taking no steps. Boy, when the wolves are howling, and it's so far down in that direction, and it seems as though there's valleys around you, faith will just... Have you been there when it seemed as though you couldn't take another step? You thought, God, I feel like I'm going to throw in the towel and face it. No, you ain't. Let's go. Huh? And it's so wonderful when you come to the place to realize that it ain't true anyhow. It's faith operating in you. You can relax. Faith just keeps on moving. Keeps on going. God put something in you. Ain't it precious? It just keeps on believing. In spite of the darkness and the shadows, and in spite of all, faith just keeps on headed toward home. When it seems as though that you've come to the end, lay back and rest in your faith. And boy, what a consolation when you feel yourself moving and you ain't moving. You're not doing the moving. Man, this ain't bad after all. When you quit trying and quit struggling and quit putting forth your effort, see, we knit so much in that it's hard for us to tell what's doing it and what ain't doing it. So that's why God every now and then has to put you in the place to where you don't have the energy to do anything, and then when you can't do it, you're saying, well, I thought I stopped. I didn't think I was moving at all. They said, it ain't been you moving the whole time. I've been building these arcs. I've been killing these lions. I've been doing it all the time. You just didn't know it. I had to get you to the place where you come to it. Faith, mighty, the promise of seed, looks to God, laughs at impossibilities and says it shall be done. Hey. This thing of going to heaven is more than a ticket. Aren't you glad? It's more than a ticket. I'm glad that God... You know, I was talking to somebody today about these things, you know, where they're advertising. They'll send you two night, three day vacation at a certain place if you can make it. If you can set aside the time and make it and then go through that terrible whatever thing they put you through. But if your car's broke down, that little brochure ain't going to do you no good. You ain't going nowhere. I don't care how lavish it is and how many meals they give and you serve, all that other stuff. I'm going to tell you, if you're sick, you ain't going to make it. You just can't. You're sick. You're nauseated. You can't get out of bed even. That's just, you know. I'm glad God didn't send out a bunch of tickets and say, hey, I've got a big mansion I build up here. I mean, it's got many, many mansions in it, and you're all welcome. Just come on. If you get here, come on. If you can make it, it's yours. I tell you, it'd be an empty place because nobody could make it. He didn't send us the ticket. He sent us the transportation. When He put faith in us, He spoke faith in us. He gave us the transportation that would carry us all the way home. Thank God. One of the angels looked at maybe one of the other angels and said, you think they'll make it? The Lord said, they'll be here. Have a one of them will be here because they're walking in on something I gave them that won't die out. It's called faith. Honey, if you quit, go ahead and quit. It only shows you didn't have anything to start with. You're leaving off emotion or intellect, the power of your own self. I just can't quit when I think I have quit. Faith is still walking. Transportation in faith. The just shall walk by faith. I think the Lord taught me a great lesson one day. A couple of things and I'll close. I was sitting across the table from an old mountain man. Been dead several years. He was in his 80s when he died, 80 years old. Charlie Ward was his name. I never met a man quite like him. Born and raised up in the mountains, never been nowhere much. Didn't get saved till he was 60 years old. Meaner than a junkyard dog or a rattlesnake. People had told me he's the meanest man they'd ever met. But God saved him gloriously. Charlie couldn't read his name in boxcar letters. That's the truth. Never had learned to read. But I love the way he expressed things. He's sitting in his living room one day, and I was sitting there talking to him. In simplicity, he would talk, and he'd say, preacher, did you see that door right there at the wind end? I said, yes, Charlie, I bet. He said, that point's 4D. And said, every time I see a cloud coming across that hill, I look to see if he's on it. You don't have to worry about how a man lives if he's looking for Jesus on every cloud that comes across the ridge. I'll tell you that. We were sitting in his kitchen, and his wife fixed us a meal, and he's on one side of the table, I was on the other, and he was talking. He had a way of saying things that I thought, Lord, I wish I could think of it that way.
Just meditated on the Lord all the time. And he listened to the Bible on tapes. He listened through many times. And while I was sitting there looking across the table, looking at him while he was talking, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "Son, I want to show you something. Now listen real close. Charlie's not educated. He's uneducated. He don't know near as much about the Bible as you do. He hasn't been to no kind of school or anything. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. Because it's not how much you know that counts. It's how much you believe what you do know." And he said, "Old Charlie don't know a lot, but he believes that I died and was buried and rose again the third day. And that's enough." All Charlie had was a simple faith that said, "I believe Jesus is my Savior. He's taken me to heaven." Somebody said, "But I don't have a lot of faith." It don't take a lot. He said, "If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. What would you do with watermelon faith?" Oh, listen. Faith is what initiated it, keeps it going, and is going to end it. Little girl had to walk to school every day, and to do so, she had to walk through a graveyard. It's on her way to school. Made a path through the graveyard. Every evening she got off the bus, she had to walk back through the graveyard. And the teacher asked her one day, said, "Honey, what in the world gives you the strength and causes you to be able to walk through that graveyard every evening?" She said, "It's easy, teacher. I always know that home's just on the other side. That's what causes me to walk it." I'm glad for faith, aren't you?